You don't need another report. Bleeding green till I D.I.E. Hold it down for the best team. We in first place, we the Celtics. Try to shoot it, we ain't let ya. Finna go and win a ring. Giving fades like I'm Kyrie. You the opposition, can't score yet. Homie, you ain't even on the floor yet. Big buckets and big shots. Better check the time on the shot clock. Got my shooters on me, they wet you up. It's a 30-footer, I ain't letting up. Scary Terry with a dancing bear. Gonna light it up like it ain't fair. Dunk it on you like Rozier. Fourth quarter, we in fifth gear. I got Tatum, I got Brown. I got Marcus locking you down. Grab a broom, it's a sweep. Score 100 on our feet. Celtics pulse, we the team. And we don't accept defeat, yeah.
What up, guys? Welcome back to the Celtics Pulse Podcast, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. Still running that affiliate promotion with the Jersey Express at JerseyExpress_ on Twitter, thejerseyexpress.com. Go check it out. 10% off anything on their store using the promo code Pulse. We're going to be recapping some of the games from the last week or so. It's been Christmas. I hope you all had a good time. Let's kick it off with the Sixers.
Yeah, so obviously that was a crazy game. Little bit of overtime for you. And Kyrie Irving obviously going off, dropping a line of 40 and 10. Just absolutely absurd scoring from him. I mean, he just went absolutely off the rails. Seeing him go off like that in a big game, especially against Philly, you know, dealing with what we've been dealing with so far with injuries and health concerns, with Baines out now too. It was really cool to see Kyrie just go out there and just shoot the goddamn lights out. It was definitely awesome to see him do it on Christmas Day. I think it was the highest scoring game since Tommy Heinsohn for Christmas Day for a Celtic. And I believe he's the first Celtic player since Paul Pierce did it in 2005 to drop a game of 40 points and 10 rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, Kyrie went absolutely off. That's one of the – and the one thing about that game that really stuck out with me is even the shots he missed, because he did miss a couple shots, especially early on in the game. But every time he missed a shot, you saw him hustling. You saw him down low trying to get the offensive rebound. That was – and this was right after the Charlotte game, I believe, when he – when that or Milwaukee, right around that same time when he made the comment saying that we need to – like, pick it up, we can't be doing this. So for him to make that comment and then come out and play and hustle the way he did, I thought that was great. I mean, even if he didn't score 40, I love that performance from Kyrie. And just those shots to tie up the game over Jimmy Butler, I mean, that's the Kyrie Irving that we were advertised in Boston. That's the Kyrie Irving we've been getting, really. And I'm loving every second of it.
Yeah, and especially, yeah, and seeing him do it against a guy like Butler, who's notoriously known for playing stiff defense, you know, is definitely a step in the right direction. Especially since, you know, obviously all the freaking Knicks rumors between Butler and Kyrie. It was kind of awesome to see Kyrie go out and just ball out against him. And not to be lost in Kyrie's awesome performance, but you also had Tatum and Morris both chipping in, 23 apiece. Tatum actually had a double-double with 23 points and 10 rebounds, and Morris had 23 and 6. So, I mean, and it's cool to see, once we get brushed over the Grizz game as well, obviously as well as Houston, we can cover it as well, but it's good to see. It's weird with Morris being your second option offensively. It seems to be the case so far, and it probably will be that case until Hayward starts to get a little bit more momentum. But it's definitely good to see Kyrie go out and take the reins when it comes down to it. Because at the end of the day, that's what you really want from him. You want him to be your leader, both on and off the court. And he's going to be your face of your franchise if we are to believe all these, you know, re-signing rumors and everything. So it's definitely cool to see him ball out in a big game like that.
Yeah, that's a good game as well. Big, tight game. Kyrie really did come up. I watched that game. I had to watch it with no sound. Sitting in the kitchen. I was at a family party, dude. Everyone was getting drunk.
God bless.
I was just sitting at the kitchen table with my phone, watching the game in silence. But yeah, Kyrie played awesome, dude. I mean, there was parts of that game, especially like the end of the third, beginning of the fourth, where I thought we were going to drop that and catch the L.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Embiid went absolutely off. I mean, 34 and 16. Which and what really not really surprised me, but stood out was Tice was getting manhandled. all game. That's basically been the narrative of Tice the last week or so. He's just been very, very bad. I mean, and it showed. He every time Embiid got the ball in the post, it was just a no-go. And if you remember in the Houston game, Tice struggled mightily offensively and defensively as well.
I don't know what the problem is with him lately. I think he can't guard centers. Like, he's technically – I think he's a stretch four at the best. I don't think he's going to be a guy that you want to go against centers. I think this is – I feel like a broken record when it comes down to it, but it seems to me pretty evidently that the Celtics, whenever they go against any bigs that are capable of rebounding at a decent rate and can stretch the floor at all, they're just going to have problems. And part of that is because Horford's been battling injuries and, you know, you're finally getting him back and he's getting into a rhythm as well. But I think he's taken a step back a little bit. I think it's okay to say that. I mean, he's 32 at this point, so it's not surprising. But it is a little bit alarming that as soon as Baines goes down, all of a sudden we're having all these problems going against dominant big man teams. I mean, the one case, obviously, against Houston, that was a tough road game. You're going against a team that's starting to get some momentum underneath them. And on top of that, you're going against James Harden, who's currently the reigning MVP with a 45-point game.
Yeah. I mean, I think for the Tice thing, it's just that if you look at his body, like, he's a lanky guy. Like, he's more built like Rob Williams than he is built like Baines. And Baines, and now especially that Tice is getting the most minutes out of that, you know, out of that position, because you have Rob Williams, who isn't either ready or is in Maine or doing whatever.
He's recovering from an injury.
He's recovering from injury. Horford is recovering from injury, so you see him playing less minutes. Baines obviously is hurt, so you're asking Tice to be basically your starting center and play most of the minutes at the five. And it's just exactly, and you've seen that. Saw that against Embiid, which, I mean, Embiid, no matter who you are, is a tough guard. But Embiid, every time Embiid got the ball, it was just one shoulder and then a scoop layup right in. You know, it was like no resistance whatsoever from Tice at all. And it's not like Tice is trying, it's that he just can't handle. He just isn't built like that. When Tice was playing 15 minutes a game and he got his, like, four or five rebounds and he hit his three every once in a while and got a block, That's where Tice can thrive. That's where Tice is built for. Just that low impact or low minutes, high impact kind of guy. But the more you put him out there, the more you're asking for him to get exposed.
I think that's a given. Yeah, I mean, I think part of it too is he's undersized for his position, much like Horford is. Horford's, I think, 6'9", 6'10", maybe on a good day, but he's got the wingspan and the body to play center. He's a natural power forward. He's a natural four, but he's capable of playing in a small ball lineup, the five, very well. That's why sometimes you'll see him play the five in the optimal lineup when you have Tatum and Brown in the lineup with Hayward and Kyrie. But also when you switch over and you have Baines play the five, you've got Horford at the four. Whereas I think Tice is going to be your natural four spot off the bench. I think he can be an emergency center in a backup situation. Like, maybe if you have to bring him out there as your first center off the bench to go against the, you know, their bench is big, but you can't play him against Embiid. You can't play him against Nene. Nene fucking ate him alive. Yeah. And, you know, and part of it too is going against the Grizzlies last night. I think whenever they go against bigs, you know, Jaren Jackson Jr. is very, very good. If it was the fact that he was drafted in the same class as, you know, DeAndre Ayton, you know, he would have been drafted a little bit higher. He still is a very high pick, but the kid's balled out so far. He's been really, really good for Memphis. So, and then you've got Gasol, who's healthy, and you're going against him too. So, I mean, it was a tough win last night, you know. One big thing I will say over the past couple games, besides the 76ers game, seeing the point drop for Jason Tatum, both in the Grizz game and in the Houston game, is a little bit alarming. I think we need him to be a little bit more aggressive.
Right, yeah.
He had four points against Houston, and I think he had seven against the Grizz.
Yeah, I mean, Tatum really does have to be more aggressive. It's sort of like, I get why he's not, especially with him being aggressive earlier on in the season when they were losing, And everyone's like, why are you being, you know, we get it, you're good, but you can't be taking all the shots. And now he's not shooting at all. And everyone's like, why aren't you shooting? So I get why he's not. Morris back. I think, like you mentioned, Morris has taken that role, the second option, especially in the new the starting lineups featuring the Marcuses, which I think are the best lineups that we've run up all season.
So
I get why he's not taking the shots. And, yeah, of course, you'd want him to. He's Jason Tatum. Like, even though people hype him up to be, like, this great thing, not right now, but he's still a very, very good player, especially off the dribble, especially creating his own shot at such a young age. Like, he's very, very good at that. But I understand why he's not, because you have Morris, who's still putting in 20. I don't know exactly how much he had last night.
22 and 4.
Yeah, so that's three straight games of basically 20 points. He had 19 against the Rockets, 23 against Philadelphia, and 24 last night. So it's understandable why Tatum isn't taking these shots. I mean, he's still a threat, and I think even if he's not shooting, he still helps the offense by being Jason Tatum, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he's just a shooter, you know? He's capable of moving with the ball. He's turned out to be a lot better of a defender than people made him out to be. He's capable of passing well and creating open looks for other people. And he's a respectable offensive threat that can not only get to the hoop with his athleticism and size, but he's also able to, you know, create other options on offense just by being the threat that he is. I think, honestly, with Morris in the fold and getting Horford back, and you've got Irving leading the charge last night with 26 and 4, and Gordon Hayward actually chipped in 14 as well, so that's not to be missed. But I think it's right now they're kind of trying to figure out where they need to fit in on the team. I don't think, obviously, I was just pulling out the scoring just to say, hey, I want Tatum to be a little bit more aggressive and to contribute more, but I think a lot of it's figuring out where this team fits together offensively. I think a lot of it's going to be figuring out who's going to be their scorer off the bench as well, because, you know, you've got Smart, who's going to be able to facilitate the offense. But, you know, as you said before, with Morris riding hot, you're not going to be starting Hayward as often, and you're still working him back from injury. So it's a lot of moving parts right now, especially for the bench unit, especially trying to figure out how to deal with Williams and Baines being out right now, kind of tweaking everything on the run.
Yeah, and especially just like trying to find their role, and this will actually segue into our next segment we'll talk about. In the Houston game, it wasn't that lopsided of a game. If you really did watch the game, the final score ended up being a 14-point loss. But we were all – there was, like, basically, you know, we went down big early, and then we came back, and we were really going until the fourth quarter when, A, Brad didn't play Kyrie. I don't think – at all. I know with 8 minutes left and they started to take like a 10-point lead, Kyrie was still on the bench, which I didn't agree with.
Mm-hmm.
But what really killed was a lineup with Jalen and Terry out there on the court. They just couldn't get anything done. I mean, how many pull-up threes from Rozier are we going to see? How many Jalen Brown, you know, ISOs are we going to see? And I love Jalen, and I do like Terry, and I've voiced both my opinions on both these players. I think that it's just a matter of time for at least Jalen. But right now, they're ball stoppers. They're offense killers. I mean, Terry Rozier is reminding me of Marcus Smart from like 2 years ago, where you couldn't play him because offensively he just couldn't score the ball, and Terry doesn't give you the same playmaking chops that Marcus does. Jalen had a good game against Houston with 18, but he only had like 4 or 5 points against Philadelphia.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, I love both those players, but right now it's becoming to a point where, I mean, those two were just in there to start the fourth quarter against the Rockets, and we were ahead. And then all of a sudden, it was just a Terry shot, a Jalen shot, a Terry shot, a Jalen shot, a Terry shot, a Jalen shot, and we couldn't score any points. So how do you play those two players, even in the third quarter, if you only have like a 5-point lead? You really can't put those guys out there unless you have a sizable lead or you're down by 40.
Or you've got someone else is handling the ball. I think one thing that's crucial for the bench to get better and for the team to get better as a whole is or Hayward to be your bench facilitator. You know, you could maybe start Smart in certain spots, or you can have Smart be your first guard off the bench. But it should be a Smart and Hayward tandem running your offense for your bench unit. I think that's
I agree with that.
At the end of the day, Hayward is probably your best playmaker on your team outside of probably Horford and Kyrie, and maybe Smart is somewhere in that mix.
I put him like 4 or 5 on the team. Yeah, definitely. I think he's a better playmaker than all the other guys.
Yeah, and I that's part of the reason why I went and got Hayward is because he's a guy who's capable of doing a lot of things very well, similar to Horford, who's able to do a little bit of everything really, really well and helps open up your offense. So by having guys like Brown come in and Rozier come in who are looking for buckets, who are trying to break out of slumps, trying to get hot again, trying to capture that magic they had last year, they're trying to capture that again, and it's not possible with this team. This is a different team right now. It's a lot of the same pieces, but you're working in other guys. You're trying to figure out who fits where, and you can't roll out the same way you did last year. You have to get back to that pass-first mentality, create the best shot, and figure out who needs to be the one with the ball to start it off with and to get that going. And I just don't think Terry is that guy right now. I think he could be. But, I mean, he was used to being the man in the playoffs. And Brown had a lot of momentum going in, too. And I think he's going through a lot of stuff mentally. And I think Terry is, too. It's the same stuff for me that I've not changed my opinion on the fact that I think it's a lot of money. It's a lot of panicking about shots and role. And, obviously, the big thing we want to address when bringing up Jaylen Brown and Terry Rozier is the whole thing with Ev Singleton. You that don't know, Ev Singleton is another Boston guy who does, I think, podcasts and reporting and stuff. He's online, Twitter, seems like a decent guy and everything. And he kind of got pounced on last night. Within the past few days, he posted essentially an edited video saying that he had heard from multiple sources around the team that cut that bit out. So I can't say Jason because this is a freaking legit. So with Terry Rozier and everything going on with Jaylen Brown, essentially what Ev Singleton does is he goes through and he's breaking down video footage of the team, says that multiple sources from the team are saying that Terry and Jaylen are not part of that quote-unquote family-like atmosphere with the team, that they're kind of on the outside looking in. And he proceeds to go through different game footage and say, Celtics are up by 4 on the road here. Look at the bench reaction. Everyone else is standing up. 2 people weren't standing up are Terry and Jaylen. And then he goes to look at another one where it's like, oh, so-and-so, look at this, another one. Terry and Jaylen aren't celebrating. They're talking amongst themselves while the team's in the huddle trying to figure out the next play. And he did the same thing for last night, saying that, Terry and Jaylen aren't paying attention to the huddle. You know, close game within the last 2 minutes, Celtics up by 5. You know, Brad Stevens calling a timeout trying to pull up a play, and they're not paying attention. And I understand what he's trying to do, and if he's hearing it from sources, he's hearing it from sources. I'm not going to go ahead and discredit whatever the guy thinks he's hearing or what he's being told. I have no idea who he's talking to. I'm not going to try and discredit him in that sense. I just think it's a stretch, and it's an opinion that he has that he thinks he's getting from informed sources. That's fine. He's entitled to his opinion. I think he's wrong, and that's my opinion, but I think it's really, really easy to pick on Terry and Jaylen right now. I think you're picking on them because they're underperforming. You're picking the two guys on the team that are struggling the most right now. I think that's fair to say. The only other person who's popped up recently is struggling is Daniel Tice, and that's because he's being asked a lot of putting in a role that he's not comfortable with. So I think it's really easy to say, of course, they're having cold streaks. They're trying to snap out of it. So why are you going ahead and doing this, man? Why are you going to try and muck up this crap? I don't get it, but I'd love to hear your thoughts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of these – I'm not saying that – obviously, like you said, I'm not discrediting him. And, like, I get why because, I mean, there were so many reports. I mean, Kyrie came and said there's some selfish player on the team. So it's easy to pick out Terry in that case, because every time Terry gets the ball, he shoots it. I mean, that's not opinion. That's basically fact. I mean, if you watch a game, Terry does shoot the ball basically 98% of the time that he has it. You know, and like I said, like you said, he's just trying to get out of a slump. That's really his game. Whatever. I don't think it's you know, to the level of he's not buying into the team aspect. He only cares about himself. I'm not. No. But I get where this guy is coming from, and I get why he picked the players he did. With Jalen, I don't think so, because with all the bad games we've seen Jalen play, Jalen has had some pretty good games. I remember he had a stretch of like three straight 20-point games off the bench, or two straight 20-point games off the bench. He almost had 20 against Houston the other night. People don't talk about Jalen when he's doing well.
No. He dropped 18 on Houston on Saturday.
Yeah. You don't talk even about though in the fourth quarter he was very shaky, but for those first three quarters he played pretty, pretty well. But like you said, I don't think there's much to this report. I mean, if one of these players were, you know, obviously I think Terry's the one. I've vocalized my, not saying disappointment, but
concern.
Concern. Like I've said that I kind of want Terry out, which isn't sort of like a, oh, I want Terry out because he's not doing. But I think like Terry is a good piece to trade away to help this team really get what it needs. It doesn't need a, you know, a shoot first player off the bench. It needs a playmaker and a rebounder and a post defender. That's what it needs. If we could get rid of one player on the team, Terry makes the most sense, especially with a point guard-driven league. How many young teams need a point guard? You know, he's cheaper than the really good guys, and especially with a weak point guard class coming out.
And he's young enough that he fits the system, too. Like, he's young enough that he could go into a rebuild system. He's only, what, 24? So you've still got time to see where his ceiling's going to go. Obviously, he isn't going to grow in terms of size or anything like that, but you know, maybe his skill set gets better. Maybe he becomes better at passing. He's an athletic guy who, for a rebounder, his size is really impressive because he gets rebounds at a pretty high clip and he gets up there due to athleticism. But, I mean, it's not really hard to connect dots and say, oh, it must be Terry Rozier, you know, and Jaylen Brown aren't buying into it because Terry is looking at a big payday this upcoming summer and that's all he cares about. Oh, and Jalen's having a slump, so, you know, maybe he feels left out. And it's like, look, I get where you're coming from. I get what you're trying to say. I don't agree with it. And that is what it is. He can, you know, say what he wants. He can pull out any reports he wants and say, you know, whatever the fuck he wants to say, but it doesn't make it right. And I just think it's easy target. It's target practice. It's just cannon fodder for just Twitter to just freaking gobble the fuck up.
Yeah, it's just
How many times I've seen Jalen and Terry both get off the bench. I'm sorry I don't have an edited clip of video to show you that they get off the bench and cheer for the teammates. But yeah, this whole notion that they're dragging the team down and, you know, maybe with their play because they're slumping, sure, but that's not really them doing it on purpose or intentionally. It's not like Terry Rozier's, like, you know, twiddling his fingers every time they get the ball. And, like, remember the show Wacky Racers with the dog? They used to go, it's not like he's doing that every single time, every time he gets the ball. Like, I'm going to shoot this ball now so we don't get in the playoffs. No. That's not what Terry Rozier is doing. And if he is, then I want evidence, video proof, other than an edited video of him sitting on the bench once when Kyrie hits a big shot.
Go on, Adam. You were saying so?
No, I was just saying he's put it up for clickbait. He's obviously having a slow week. Slow week on Twitter, and not many people are clicking the like button or the retweet button. He just comes up with some fabricated shit, drops it on Twitter, and boom, he's relevant for a week.
Well, yeah. I mean, he certainly pissed people off. He pissed people off. I remember, like, I had, like, retweeted the video, and, like, no one commented, but, like, I was just seeing people just shred the dude online, and I was just like, okay. And, like, that's why, like, before we hopped on, I was like, I want to handle this with as much delicacy as I can, and I don't want to rip the dude apart. So, you know, look, the dude just fabricated some shit.
if he did. And I mean, I'm not going to discredit his sources because I don't know what the fuck he has for a source. Nor do I particularly care because I don't agree with the report. So, you know, automatically people are going to have a problem with it and be up in arms because it's a ridiculous notion that because, oh, so-and-so slumping, they must not want to be on the team or they must not be a part of this family atmosphere. I will buy the fact that Kyrie said people are being selfish. And yeah, maybe that was a call out to Terry. He's one of those guys that I can see it happening. But at the same time, I don't blame guys for wanting to chuck it up. I just want them to understand that they can't. Like, I don't blame them for wanting to try and break out of a slump. That's just natural. They're trying to contribute. They're trying to get their own. And yeah, Terry's got his eyes on the payday. I don't blame him for that. But at the same time, it's just that kind of play is not going to last. It's not going to work for this team. And it's just, it's a way to get shown the door. So I think things will change. I think things will improve. I still think Terry might get traded. And it's not something I'm wishing upon him. You know, I like Terry as a player. But as you were saying before earlier, Cody, I think he's just one of those guys that, you know, when you look at the roster, the construction, what we need, what we don't need, and looking ahead to next summer and what potentially could be a big trade summer for not only us but other teams, he seems like the odd man out.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think people quite understand how hard it is to take, you know, a backseat role. I mean, I understand that, yeah, everyone wants to win championships, but really not every single person, when they're born, they're motivated to win. There are a lot of stat players. I'm not saying that Terry's a stat player or anything, but for a lot of Terry's life, he was the star guy. He was recruited. He was a starter at Louisville, you know, and then once he got that lick again, because when he was drafted, obviously we had Isaiah at the time, and he was not going to time in the G League and yada, yada, yada. But once he got in the last year and he got that taste again, it's really hard to wash that taste out. A lot of these guys have been the star basketball players ever since they were born. You know, it does really take it. Not every single person can just be looking like, oh, I'm on a good team, I'm just going to sit back. I mean, I was lucky that I was one of those players when I was playing sports, no matter what it was, where if we're winning, I don't care if I get 25 points or 25 rebounds. It doesn't matter. I just want to win. And I've played with a lot of guys who it wasn't like that. There was one kid in eighth grade. I was a seventh grader, and I won the starting center spot. He quit. Same thing happened in high school. I won the starting center spot my sophomore year, and the kid that was above me quit. And some players are like that. They can't have that bench role. They can't have that backseat role. So I think, you know, that's just, like I said, Jalen's adjusting. Terry's adjusting back into their roles, back into really what they were supposed to be. You know, this is the same stuff we would have saw last year if Gordon wasn't hurt. You know, this is the same stuff we would have saw last year. We're just seeing it now.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's just what it is. I think the difference, like you were saying, is just it's a different roster because we didn't have Hayward last year. We were leaning so heavily on these guys to produce. And now that they're asked to take the backseat, to take the bench role, they're adjusting, to say the least. So, yeah. You know, I think at the end of the day, with everything with Singleton's post and all that crap, and then him doubling down on it during the Grizzlies game for no apparent reason other than his pride, you know, just don't take the bait. Just don't take the bait. And, yeah. You know, it's clearly – I don't think anyone's really believing it online except, you know, people who are just hell-bent on getting Terry dealt. And I still think it's the best thing for the team to have him traded, but I don't believe this crap coming out.
No, it's just casual fans and people that are against Terry that want him traded. They're the only guys that are following on this train.
Yeah. I don't blame him. Like, you can believe whatever you want to believe, man. There are so many things I've read and believed on Twitter that have either been true or not true because people say they have sources or whatever. So, you know, and I mean, there have been times, I remember when there was a guy named, I forget his last name, is the Roy Report. He was the guy who was like, Celtics and the Cavaliers have a preliminary trade set to trade Isaiah Thomas for Kyrie Irving. And like, I DM'd him because he's like, I was like, all right, so like, what's the deal with this? And he like actually like gave me all the info and everything. It turns out he was right, but you know, a lot of this stuff is speculation. So I mean, at the end of the day, if Terry and Jalen get dealt for somebody, at the end of the day, he's gonna be like, see, I told you so. I told you so that it was gonna happen. And what happened? And that's no, but like that's the shit though. Like it's easy to look at these two guys and be like, yeah, these are probably two of our better trade pieces. Because at the end of the day, when you're looking at a trade for, you know, an Anthony Davis or something like that, people are already talking about signing, trading Terry over there. Or if you had a pick between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, you know who you're going to trade. And it sucks. I mean, like, I love these guys and I don't want to trade them.
Yeah, and these guys hear that shit as well. I mean, it's not like they're deaf and blind. They see what everybody's saying.
And that has to impact their play. You know, like, there's a psychological impact to that. And because of that, every single time they're trying to get on the court, they're trying to get theirs. And I don't blame them for feeling that way.
They're
you know,
thinking, man, like, fuck you guys. The same guys in the crowd screaming their name are the guys on Twitter after the game saying, we need to trade these motherfuckers. Do you know what I'm saying? You're not going to want to, like, I'm going to be thinking, well, I'm getting mine then.
Yeah.
And that's part that's of the problem. That is part of the problem. Yeah, we're part of the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely been on the train of like, man, this guy's playing like shit. And like, and it's like, oh, well, we're already talking summer and trying to get Anthony Davis. And it's like, how do we make it work financially? And it's like, well, they're not going to do a trade without getting one of the Jays. And like, you know, we've already kind of just accepted the fact that Terry Rozier is gone to the point where we're like, yeah, we don't want to re-sign him next summer. We'd rather throw money at Marcus Morris, which don't get me wrong, I think it's a better investment at this point in time. But, you know, it.
I saw something on Twitter the other day.
No, go on.
I saw something on Twitter, I think it was yesterday, saying, is Morris going to be the next Turner? If we lose him, does his play slump because of the Stevens effect? Does he go and get paid and then play trash?
I don't think so.
You think he's improved, period?
I think he's improved for now because it is the contract year, but I think it's also the system.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If he was to move, is he keeping this level of play, or is he playing this for the Stevens effect?
I think it's a bit of both because he looks better. Like he physically is in better shape, and he said that he put in a lot of work this summer. It looks like he slimmed down a lot. He looks way more athletic. He's bought into his role, and he has a specific role on this team. So he changed his style of play. Now, it's not necessarily just because of the system. It is, like, a main part of it. Don't get me wrong. Like, he's been asked to play a certain kind of way, and because of that, he's personally adjusted his playing style to fit the system. But a lot of the league is going in this direction. A lot of the league is going in, you know, a small ball system, a lot of threes taking, a lot of ball movement. And it's not going to be surprising if he's signing somewhere else and having similar production. It's just a matter of where he is in the food chain on that team. I think that will impact his play more so than anything else. Because he put up decent numbers in Detroit. He's always been a pretty good offensive player, and he's always, quote-unquote, been like one of the better defenders against LeBron that everyone's kind of jacked him up for. And he has decent stats against LeBron in that sense. Not that I'm really wanting to drag LeBron in the conversation, but he's a decent defensive player. He's always kind of been a good defensive player who can stretch the floor. So I don't think that necessarily goes away if he goes to a different team in the summer, but it also depends on the team and the kind of role he would take. I think right now he's in a role that's going to optimize his stats and his skills as a player.
And that's what Brad does, dude. That he puts everybody in that position. It's just their choice whether they want to fulfill, which is what's so frustrating about Jaylen. Because he's being put in a position every night to do what he does best. Some nights it works, some nights it doesn't.
Yeah, and I think he's one of those guys that he's still trying to figure out where he fits in the league. I mean, he's still very, very young. And I mean, it's the same thing with Tatum. You know, we're seeing struggles from both of them. And I think Tatum's a better overall player, but it's just kind of a given. You know, like I think Celtics fans are spoiled as fuck, man. Like, we're so fucking spoiled.
Boston
like,
fans are so spoiled.
Just Boston in general, but, like, Celtics fans in general are so fucking spoiled. This is just a call out to everyone, and this is a little bit of a wake-up call and a self-check on myself. Guys, we are so fucking spoiled. We are unbelievably spoiled. We get to be in one of the best cities in the world, one of the best sports cities to ever have a fan base in. We've got 17 championships with the Celtics, already talking about clamoring for 18. And, you know, you've got guys like Brown and Tatum that were just fucking gift wrapped, absolutely fucking gift wrapped to us by Brooklyn. And on top of that, you know, we got Tatum by doing that flip with the 76ers. And then we had the Avery Bradley and the Mook Morris trade workout. And then we somehow managed to turn role players and guys who were not appreciated on other teams into solid, solid players to the point where we were able to package them and go get Kyrie. And then we somehow convinced Hayward and Horford to come here. That we have such a solid franchise. And it just, it's comical to myself and to others when we fucking freak out over stupid stuff. We just get absolutely caught up in, oh, Terry wasn't looking bought into that timeout. We should really be concerned about that. And it's like, come on, guys. But we have such a bright future. I don't know why we're hitting the panic button on stuff that we shouldn't be worrying about.
A bit of an anecdotal. Yeah, I mean, have you seen that video going around online where that woman's suing the man because she gained weight during their relationship?
What?
Yeah, so like, I don't know if it's comedy value or what, but basically her and her ex are in the stand and the judge says, like, so explain. She's like, oh, so, you know, he cooks well, but he doesn't cook little. He cooks loads of meals, so he woke me up at 2 a.m. with a meatloaf and potatoes. Then I go to sleep, then I wake up and there's pancakes and eggs and I gain weight. And now you've said that, it's like, that's like the Celtics fans. Like, we're moaning that we've got it so good and then all of a sudden we want a bitch because we have a bump in the road. That woman got told to fuck off, by the way. No one was letting her sue for that.
Oh, but, good.
My husband cooked food for me. I got fat. Now I want some money, please.
Yeah, I mean, Tim, in our lifetime, we've seen at least 11 championships between the Patriots, the Red Sox, the Celtics, the Bruins. I mean, New England's spoiled as hell.
And on top of that, I was 8 when Tom Brady won his first championship, so.
Yeah, and you know, like, I was just telling Adam, like, I'm also an Alabama Crimson Tide fan. So I've seen plenty of championships. I have done plenty of celebrating. So this whole thing where everyone is just bomb squatting the entire Celtics team, just like relax.
A lot of these guys that are doing the bomb squatting though aren't Celtics fans, and they want Celtics to fuck up and Boston not to win because they don't get to celebrate every year.
That's big.
I mean, yeah, like if you're looking at like the big guys like Kellerman or Stephen A. Smith, you know, all those guys who are just churning out hot takes and just garbage sports talk, you know, they putting it out there for clicks and because they know it's going to get a reaction because Boston is one of the most sensitive cities when it comes to sports because we're so passionate. We take stuff very, very seriously. So if anything bad comes up, we are immediately like, bam, defend the wall, like going freaking hardcore on people. And like, I think it's good to be able to say, let's slow down. Cause like a lot of it too. And for me too, like I've been this way on pods before where it's talking about, hey, we should make a trade. It's like, you know, we get set in our minds that we need to improve the roster. And if, you know, God forbid we lose a game, you know, so-and-so isn't doing well, well, we better ship him out. Like, this is sports. Like, it's day-to-day. Things happen, and it's a matter of improving on top of that. It's so early in the season that it's hard for me to get too caught up in stuff. You know, and there are things that I think the Celtics should do, but at the end of the day, it's not my freaking call. It's none of our calls. We can comment on all we want, but at the end of the day, I trust Danny Ainge to do what he needs to do to make the team better. So, you know, it's hard for me to second-guess anything they've done so far.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta trust Danny. I mean, like I said, we've discussed trades, and we obviously have been very emphatic, and then if someone has to go, it is Terry, but we're not saying that Terry has to go, you know. But yeah, I mean, if we just slow it down. I mean, a lot of the losses that people are complaining about, like, if you look at really their losses the last few, we won against Memphis, which we should have won. We beat a 76ers team, which was good. We lost to Houston, for crying out loud.
The only reason I was upset about Houston was the fouls. But James Harden went off.
Yeah, plus we were in that game for a while, and I think not playing Kyrie when, you know, in the fourth quarter, basically at all, really did hurt, and it really did irk me a little bit, Brad. Come on, Doug. But, you know, the Suns lost and the Pistons lost. Yeah, okay, those are losses that we shouldn't have lost. But the Bucks are a very – they're the number one team basically in the NBA right now. We beat a Pelicans team. We beat a lot of these teams we should have beat. You know, we had a 9-1, 9-1, 9-2, 10-2 run after Thanksgiving. Like, we have been winning a good amount of games. And the few games that we have lost, two of them have been to two of the top teams in the NBA, and two of them are just bullshit. We should have won. But still, yeah. It's not like we're playing the worst basketball in the NBA. It's not like we're the Cavs.
No, and ouch. Every game for the last...
Ouch, at Cavs.
And every game for the last 2 weeks or so, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing slight improvements on Hayward, game by game. Like, last night, did you see, I think it was the middle of the first, Hayward come on, caught a pass towards the free throw line, noticed a mismatch, I think it was on Conley, and just pulled up and drained the fadeaway.
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, he was missing those shots three weeks ago. He wouldn't have even thought. He would have deferred that ball straight out, back out. So his confidence is growing. He's driving more. He's shooting more. It won't be long until we've got Hayward back, and then he's pushing back for the starting lineup. And then we've got to reconfigure again.
And I'm okay with that. It's a good problem to have. It's a good problem to have too many talented players. But really what it comes down to is managing, which is going to fall a lot on Stevens, which is something that a lot of people were concerned about just because it's probably definitely the most talented team he's had in Boston, without a doubt. But it's a matter of making those egos work. But I mean, that's why you pay him the money you do, because he's going to optimize the talent on the team and to get them to play at an elite level that works for us, that's suitable for Boston fans. But one last thing we should talk about briefly, what do you guys think about the game tomorrow, Spurs-Celtics, 7 o'clock?
That's going to be a good one, I think. I mean, the Spurs have, from what I've remembered, they've sort of started picking up as of late. If I'm correct, they've been winning a couple games lately.
It's not going to be an easy game. We're struggling against bigs. They've got LaMarcus, DeRozan, obviously.
Yeah, and
I get
been
to watch it because I ain't working the next day.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
Let me look at their record right now. They're 20-17. So
in the West.
Yeah, in the West of all places, and that, I mean, that was another thing too. Last night was, you know, the page Celtics Junkies. He went on like a whole tear. He deleted the tweet. I saved the receipt. That's right, man. I got a receipt on that tweet. It was ugly as hell. He said the Celtics suck donkey dick. He said it.
A Celtics fan page said Celtics sucks up donkey dick.
Yeah, and he was like, we lost to a shitty team. And it's like, you know what the Grizz would be if they were in the East? They would be the sixth seed.
But
they would be right
lose?
Behind us. No, and we won. He put it out like prematurely because it was when we were down.
That's
don't
like
get
his
me wrong.
Sex life, that is. Premature, man.
And I mean, like, look, I get being upset about it too. Like, they were down by a fuck ton, but like, this is kind of the mode with this team at times. Like, it's always been that way with this current brand of Celtics. They start off in the season having games like that where they get down by a shit ton of points, but then they somehow end up being in it in the end, and it's just a matter of whether they pulled away or not, and they pulled away last night. So I mean, look, I get being upset, but I just think at certain points kind of have to pump the brakes a little. But
at least wait till the end of the game.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the Grizzlies rode on fucking Gasol's back last night. The guy didn't come out for the entire first quarter.
I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure there was like a minute left and he still hadn't come out the game.
Like, I mean, the dude's a legend. That guy he's so good.
Yeah.
I love him, yeah.
But you're coming to the Grizzlies and they know that your best big is on a minutes restriction, and then your second best big has no hands, so he ain't playing. What do? You keep your best big in the game for as long as possible.
And you punish him in the paint. I mean, that's the given. They know we're thin at the five. And I think that's really the thing that's going to hurt the Celtics most now, is just until they get people healthy and they get more depth at the five spot, they go against any teams that got good bigs. Yeah, they're going to have fucking problems.
I can't remember their rookie's name, but he played well.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
There we go.
Yeah, that was the guy I was talking about. That
really,
guy is
really
nasty.
Good.
JJJ.
Yeah, he's filthy. And just a little preview on the Spurs. I have their games from December that they played. They beat the Lakers by 13. The Lakers have been pretty, and that was with LeBron. That was early on in the month. They demolished the Clippers around the 13th. They killed the 76ers on the 17th, murdered the Magic on the 19th.
I like that alliteration. Destroyed.
Yeah, you like that one? You know, terminated the Timberwolves on the 21st.
Oof, good.
Only, yeah, I'm getting you over there, Tim. They only lost by 7 of the Rockets. Then they nuked the Nuggets on the 26th.
Are you an English major?
No, I am not. I actually hate English. But anyway. Sorry, Tim. I love you. But then they lost the Nuggets by 3 2 days ago, and then yesterday they beat the Clippers by 11. So they've been on a tear this month.
Yeah,
and they have one ugly loss to the Bulls on the 15th, which only by 5, but still, and they got absolutely ransacked by the Jazz on the 4th, but that was a month ago. So
here's my hot take: they're going to have an ugly loss to the Celtics tomorrow.
Yeah, all right.
I mean, it's going to be fucking ugly, dude. They're going to wish they never even fucking played us.
What was my last hot take? What did I say was my last hot take?
Jalen was going to have a good game, but when was that?
Was that Christmas when you dropped?
No,
it's
the game before Christmas.
Let me see. I'm gonna look it up.
Pull it up.
How did he do? Does Cody get this privilege again? Let's see. Against the Hornets, he had. Hold up. Against the Hornets, he had. Survey says. 8 points. And Cody does not get to do these anymore.
Yeah, we do. Cody's hot take. It's a section, dude.
Let's see. It's our final section
of the pod, man. What? Cody hot take every Monday.
What do we got for tomorrow?
Okay, so I'm 0 for 2 so far. Let's see. What do we have? We're playing the Spurs.
Uh-huh.
I say Marcus Smart holds DeMar DeRozan only 15 points.
Oof. I'm going to take the over on that. I think DeRozan's going to get 23.
I think DeMar DeRozan gets shut down.
Okay, Aldridge goes off.
Yeah, Aldridge is going to eat.
And then Kyrie going to kill. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, their point guard depth is kind of damaged. I like Patty Mills, though.
And I see this, yeah. This is my hot take. Hayward drops 20.
Ooh. Okay. All right,
guys, so we're going to wrap it up. Don't forget to check out the Pulse Podcast Network. Check out all the other podcasts on the network. Don't forget the affiliate promotion, thejerseyexpress.com, @jerseyexpress_. 10% discount on any item in their website using the promo code Pulse. And we'll catch you again later this week. Peace.